In him is life. Think about who the him is and what's special about that life. I have an invitation for you this morning. An invitation to a tighter, closer, deeper relationship with God. I'm going to start with a story, a very short, little, tiny story. In your mind's eye, imagine you have been shopping at the grocery store, and as you drive out of the parking lot, you see a scruffy man holding a sign. It says, "Homeless, anything works." What is your first thought? Your relationship with God determines how you will react to all the circumstances in your life. It controls your first impulse when anything happens to you, good or bad. Now, let's drive out of that parking lot again. And you see this scruffy man. What is your first impulse? Be honest with yourself and let it reveal who is in control of your automatic responses. What is your first response if a child spills juice on a freshly laundered shirt? Remember what I said earlier? Your relationship with God determines how you will react to all the circumstances in your life. Are you happy with your first impulse? If not, you have company. A man you all know wrote something about himself that may encourage you or it may discourage you. "If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Who wrote that? Paul. He spent 4 years in the wilderness, communing with God to develop a beautiful, close relationship with him. Does it sound like he's happy with his relationship? Let's read that in language more like we talk today. "But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." Have you ever heard someone say, "The devil made me do it"? Isn't that what Paul is saying? Yeah. Is it true? Yes. It is. Did you ever make a New Year's resolution that you knew was going to be something that would make life better for those around you and for yourself? How did that turn out? If you're like many of us, within a few days or maybe a few weeks, if you are super committed, you learn that your best resolutions are like ropes of sand. Remember what I said earlier? Your relationship with God determines how you will react to all the circumstances in your life. Your unthinking, natural response reveals what you are inside. Dr. Luke offers an excellent diagnosis of our condition. Oops, wrong button. Get the right one here, Keith. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. There's something very, very good about that first part of that. That's a very encouraging thing. It clearly states that there are good men filled with good thoughts that reveal God in their lives. I love that. But if the words and actions of your life display an inward condition that is not in harmony with God, just like Paul described, what is your next step? How do you change what you are inside if you want to improve it? Jesus shocked Nicodemus with a seemingly impossible situation. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus expressed his dismay, and Jesus continued, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. We were talking about the water and the Spirit earlier today. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. John 3:14 and 15. This was your memory verse for Sabbath school this morning, this whole week. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He thinks there's value in believing. And the result of that believing is what? Life. Earlier in John's writings, in the very first verses, he identified Jesus and his characteristics. In him was life. That was the source of the title for this. I put it in the present tense, not the past tense, because you and I live in the present tense, and he's offering us something right now. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in the Message Bible, that last phrase gets rendered this way. Pardon me, we'll get that reading back there. And the life was the light to live by. The light of men? Well, that's kind of ambiguous, but the light to live by, that's very pointed. That's very meaningful to each individual. It's what controls you every minute of your life. And then we go to this one. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Belief, again, extremely involved in your experience. And believeth on him that sent me, what? Hath everlasting life. That's not sometime in the future. That's now, you, here. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Troy was talking earlier about the fact that when Jesus died, he saved everyone. We all transitioned from death to life. But not everyone chooses that, do they? You can. In him was life. In him is life. He wants to fill you with his life. Not sometime in the future when he comes back to earth. Now. Today. Those who believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Now. Present. Let's take a look at that in the New Living Translation. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have now eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Now that one challenged me. Never be condemned for your sins. And this morning during the Sabbath school lesson, something that Troy said made that possible. Because Jesus is the one who was condemned for my sins and yours. I think that's the most valuable thing I've heard all day. So, do you believe in God? If you do, say amen. Amen. Right. Of course you do. You are worshiping here today in this house of God, and you have eternal life. Isn't that marvelous? What changes in your life when you receive his life? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You want a change of mind? You want the Holy Spirit to get inside your brain and twiddle with your neurons and make you into somebody you've never been? You've maybe heard me describe that experience in those words, because I believe that is exactly what God does. He changes our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you are thinking like Jesus is thinking, you are in a close personal relationship with him. When his life is in you, when he is living in you, he is in control of your thoughts, your words, and your actions. He is in control of your first impulses when something unexpected happens. Oops. Okay. Desire of Ages, page 668, in one of my copies of Desire of Ages, there are more red underlines on this page than any other in any of her books. And this particular section is so meaningful. When we know God as it is our privilege to know him, our life will be a life of continual obedience. This is one evidence that your relationship with God is strong and growing. Progress, folks. God making a difference in your life. Another change that will happen is in Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace? You want that? I know I do. My life is hectic. I have an awful lot going on. I never expected it to be this busy after retirement. But you come to a location where you can do things and help, and you start volunteering, and, perfect peace? I could handle that. I think all of us could. Steps to Christ, page 70. Another word to describe life as you might like it to be in your relationship with God. A life in Christ is a life of restfulness. I'm still trying to find rest, but I'll take her word for it. These are good words. There may be no ecstasy of feeling, but there should be an abiding, peaceful trust. Your hope is not in yourself. It is in Christ. Emphasize that, folks. Don't look at yourself. Look at him. Your weakness is united to his strength, your ignorance to his wisdom, your frailty to his enduring might. So you are not to look to yourself, not to let the mind dwell upon self, but look to Christ. Let the mind dwell upon his love, upon the beauty, the perfection of his character. Christ in his self-denial, Christ in his humiliation, Christ in his purity and holiness, Christ in his matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. It is by loving him, copying him, depending wholly upon him, that you are to be transformed into his likeness. Does that sound like something you want? When you have experienced that, this is another sign that you are in a harmonious relationship with God. This is something you can experience. Going back to page 668 in Desire of Ages, if we come to him in faith, he will speak his mysteries to us personally. You want to hear the voice of God? I'm not saying literally. How many of you, as you're kneeling in prayer, have thoughts come into your mind that give you direction or inspiration or a new thought that you hadn't even considered before? That's what happens when you spend a lot of time in prayer. That's the experience this can give you. If we come to him in faith, he will speak his mysteries to us personally. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us, as he did with Enoch. You remember the experience of Enoch, walking with God day by day until one day God said, I think we're closer to my home than your home. Come on home. This has to be one of the most marvelous thoughts for a Christian, to look forward to this kind of a time, this kind of experience, this kind of relationship with God. It's just one more evidence that your relationship with God is healthy and fulfilling. In his life here on earth, Jesus showed by his example how humans can live when connected with God. Steps to Christ, page 59. The loveliness of the character of Christ will be seen in his followers. It was his delight to do the will of God. Love to God, zeal for his glory, was the controlling power in our Savior's life. Love beautified and ennobled all of his actions. Love is of God. The unconsecrated heart cannot originate or produce it. It is found only in the heart where Jesus reigns. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." In the heart renewed by divine grace, love is the principle of action. It modifies the character, governs the impulses, controls the passions, subdues enmity, and ennobles the affections. This love, cherished in the soul, sweetens the life and sheds a refining influence on all around. Does this sound like something you want for your life? I sure do. It's a marvelous, marvelous future, a marvelous present for those that experience that kind of a relationship. Isn't that kind of a relationship with God sweet? Oh my, yes. A person might think that because you are experiencing a close personal relationship with God, your path, your choices, would always be crystal clear and obvious. But there can often be circumstances where you must choose between multiple options, multiple possibilities, when you can see potential benefits from several directions in life. At times like these, you certainly will be asking God for direction. You always want to know that God will be pleased by your choices. Here is a promise for just such times. Again, page 668. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before him, just what course to pursue. And they will receive not only wisdom, but strength. Power for obedience, for service, will be imparted to them as Christ has promised. Isn't that a powerful statement of what your relationship with God can produce? With that power that God gives you, he also presents opportunities to draw others to him. Remember, you already have his life in you, eternal life. Now here is how to share it. Steps to Christ, page 115. In every one of his children, Jesus sends a letter to the world. If you are Christ's follower, he sends in you a letter to the family, the village, the street where you live. Jesus, dwelling in you, desires to speak to the hearts of those who are not acquainted with him. Perhaps they do not read the Bible or do not hear the voice that speaks to them in its pages. They do not see the love of God through his works. But if you are a true representative of Jesus, it may be that through you, they will be led to understand something of his goodness and be won to love and serve him. I trust that you can see that letting God build a close personal relationship with you has resulted in changing you into a true representative of Jesus. A person whose first impulse in all circumstances is to react with love, calm patience, and compassion, because your personal relationship with God results in being a true representative of Jesus. Are you ready for that? That's what he's asking you to do. And I pray that that will be your life, your experience.